Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Matthew chapter 20. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Do you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last. This is the text. I told you a couple weeks ago about how Matthew has a style of writing where he organizes the events of Christ's life in such a way that various sections of the book have a front end and a back end which mirror each other, and at the center is a main point on which he is focusing. It's a common style of writing in the ancient world called a chiasm, the name for the Greek letter chi, which looks like an X. In Matthew 18, he began a new chiasm with the disciples having a debate about who is the greatest in the kingdom. Then last week, we heard the parable of the unmerciful servant, a man who was forgiven 10,000 talents, this unpayable debt. But he would not forgive the man who owed him 100 denarii. This chiasm of Matthew goes all the way through the end of chapter 20 and will end with the mother of James and John asking Jesus that he allow one of them to sit on his right and one on his left in his kingdom. She wants her sons to be placed in positions of greatness above everybody else, as if that's what constitutes greatness in the kingdom. Everything that goes on in between can be seen as a larger discussion of what true greatness is in the kingdom. And in this section of Matthew, repentance and forgiveness are major themes. And at the center of this, where the X meets in the chiasm, we find parents bringing their children to be blessed by Jesus, the disciples telling the parents to keep their children away from Jesus, and Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." This brings us to the parable of the workers in the vineyard. The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning and hired workers, offering a denarius for their work. And they agree, and he sent them out. He apostled them into the vineyard. An apostle is one who is sent. Jesus is talking to his apostles. Jesus has been speaking of the office of the ministry, the office of the keys, and how having this authority to free people from their sins and hold them accountable for their sins also, when they refuse to repent. This is work within the church that needs to be done, but this does not give the apostles or pastors or anybody else the authority to lord it over the people. That is not greatness in the kingdom of God. And just because he is speaking directly to the 12, this does not mean that these things don't have application to all who are followers of Jesus. But in this parable, Jesus is speaking directly, specifically, to the 12. Because this is part of the greater narrative answering their question, well, who is the greatest in the kingdom? Is it the one who can lord it over you? Who can force his will upon you? Is it the one who can work the hardest, bear the greatest burden of the day? Or is it the one who receives the gift of righteousness with the faith of a little child? This is the question Jesus is answering. So the master of the house keeps going out in the third hour, in the sixth hour, in the ninth hour, and he apostles more workers into the vineyard, saying, "You go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you." This is the same word used throughout Scripture to describe righteousness, justification, being righteous in the sight of God, being forgiven. Go into my vineyard and I will give you righteousness. Then in the 11th hour, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he finds others standing around, not working, and apostles them into the vineyard. Keep in mind that Jesus has told his apostles on numerous occasions that in the kingdom of God, very often, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. This isn't the only place that he tells them that. But at the end of the day, the master takes the last to be hired and makes them first in line to receive the righteousness, the justification that was promised. And they receive the fullness of what was promised to the ones who have been working since 6 a.m. Those first workers are now waiting at the end of the line, and they're getting excited because they think they're going to be getting more. After all, according to how the world thinks, according to how our sinful nature thinks, I mean, it would just be fair. It would be right for them to get more than the ones who only worked 1 hour. They had done so much more work. They endured the heat of the day. They deserve more. Well, here's the thing. If you are a worker in the vineyard, whether you have been called late or were called early, it's not about you. That's something we pastors especially have to keep in mind. But this applies to all of us. It's not about you or the extra that you're going to get out of being a worker in the vineyard. Your calling is to work. Now, I find great joy in the extra that we workers in the vineyard do get. There is extra, but it's not what you think or not what the world would really perceive as extra. I don't know how to explain this other than just to say I feel genuinely really sorry for those who do not understand or appreciate the joy of serving others. The joy of sacrificing your time for the benefit of someone else. The joy of sacrificial giving. That's the extra. And it's good. But that's not what Jesus is focusing on. Jesus says that at the end of the day, on the last day, whether you were called early or called late, you will be given what is right. You will be given righteousness. So when the first workers only receive one denarius, the same as the last workers, they grumble about it. These last ones only worked 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us. We have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat. Oh, in those words, we see what the problem is. Whether we're talking about apostles or pastors or teachers or mothers or fathers or whomever, at the end of the day, we are all equal in the righteousness we have been given. We have all been forgiven the unpayable debt, the 10,000 talents. And that parable and this parable mirror each other in the chiasm. But our unpayable debt is the unpayable debt of sin paid through the cross of Jesus Christ. The issue is that we don't like being made equal. We like to have our works outshine and be considered worth more than the works of others, not realizing how great our debt of sin truly is. And the master replied, and the English here just kills the meaning, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong." Literally, he says, "Friend, I am not unjustifying you. I did not unrighteous you by giving you what I promised to you, which is what you need to survive, to live. I choose to give to the last worker the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to give the good things which belong to me? You have been forgiven 10,000 talents of debt. Why does it bother you that the master forgives the debt of others also? Even though you may think you have worked longer and harder than the others, what have you truly done to earn this grace? As we've seen throughout this past few weeks, in this chiasm here in Matthew, we are called to think differently. God's grace is completely undeserved. I am a poor, miserable sinner who does not deserve to eat at the master's table. He has given me my righteousness, the same as you. What is the point in arguing about who among us is the greatest in the kingdom? Jesus' message is simple. Receive this grace. Receive this mercy. Receive it with the faith of a little child. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.